Good morning. Welcome to worship. Good to see you all. A few announcements before we begin the service. This is our designated Mission Sunday, and if you would like to give a designated offering for the Hosh Ministry in, as they serve in Taiwan, you may do so. Just mark that on your check or envelope, however you're giving, and we'll make sure it gets there. Also, the famine relief in Chad can still be contributed toward, and the offering plate is in the entryway. You can find it there. For our weekly Bible studies, you can contact me if you're interested in joining in on any of those that are listed on the bulletin. Please note, we got our upcoming Stavanger Leadership Retreat. That is March 19th at Inspiration Point Bible Camp, and cost is $30 per person, and you are welcome to join in. You don't have to be an elected member of a church board to be a part of that. If you're interested in the ministry of Stavanger, you're welcome to come. We'll plan to do some Bible study and have Luane Rognes from the finance department of the Church of Lutheran Brethren coming and sharing a bit about church finances. And there'll be some time for recreation as well, and maybe get a tour of the camp. So if you're interested in that, see me. I plan to have a sign-up sheet for that available by next Sunday. And note that Lent is coming up. March 2nd is Ash Wednesday, and we'll plan to begin our midweek soup, supper, and Bible study series. We're looking at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, as Jesus makes his way to the cross, and that will be the basis of our study series. There'll be coffee following worship today, so come on downstairs if you are able. And also note the upcoming March 26th family bowling event at Northern Air Lanes, and Deacon Board meeting at Faye's house this Thursday evening. Thank you for those who contributed or helped out in any way for the youth fundraiser event last night that was held at Messiah, the joint effort between Stavanger and Messiah for the youth trip to Colorado this summer. It's a good turnout and good response. I know there's several from Stavanger who donated, even though they were not able to attend. And we haven't got a figure yet on exactly what's come in, but it sounded like it was a successful event. So thank you, and thanks to Pastor Eric for his leadership on that. Are there any other announcements? Then let us begin our service in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our call to worship from Psalm 37. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this day, this place, a time to gather together in your name, to worship you, to hear your word, to sing your praises. Bless this gathering, Lord, and all who have gathered, and all who will gather remotely, Lord, via the recorded service. Lord, whoever hears your word proclaimed, may they be blessed by the truth which sets free. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to rise as you're able for our opening hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Standing for our confession of sin. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us, and for his sake grant us forgiveness of all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us and has given his only Son to die for us. For his sake, he forgives, and for his sake, forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God and bestows on them his Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, to us all. Amen. Let's also confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Congregation may be seated. Are there any specific prayer requests that we would like to have added? Yes.
My sister-in-law, Joanne Willis, she's going through her second round of chemo for lymphoma. I mean, that's her second bout with cancer. She's going through chemo now.
All right. Thank you, Nancy. Others? Okay. Let us pray. Lord, we come to you as beggars. Lord, we have nothing to give that you haven't first given to us, except our sin, for which we thank you. You have forgiven according to your promise, as we have just heard. And so, Lord, we come to you with our needs, our concerns, along with our thanks and our praise. And we do, Lord, bring before you Joanne Lillis as she faces this round of chemotherapy to treat cancer. Lord, we pray that the treatment would be effective, that you would bring healing and hope and comfort and peace. May Joanne and her loved ones, Lord, be drawn to you through this trial. We pray for all those who struggle with physical illness and pain, injury. We ask for healing, we ask for hope, and we ask that each one, Lord, would be directed to you and look to you for hope and healing. We pray the same, Lord, for those who are struggling with broken relationships, with financial burdens, with perplexing moral dilemmas. Whatever, Lord, the struggle, may again we look to you and trust in you. And Lord, may you use each of us to minister to those around us, Lord, who are in need of various kinds. Lord, use us as you will to be your agents of hope and healing, of help, of your hands and feet, to demonstrate your love. Lord, we pray for our local and national leaders, all who are in positions of responsibility for the common good. We pray you would grant them wisdom. We pray for integrity. We pray for courage. We pray that you would protect them and guide them. And Lord, we pray that your name would be proclaimed throughout the earth. We pray for our missionaries. We think of the Hoshes and others that you've called and sent. Bless, Lord, their ministries. And help them, Lord, to be effective witnesses for you among the nations, among those who haven't come to know you yet, and to encourage and disciple those who have come to know you. And we pray, Lord, that would be the same here, Lord, that you would encourage us to hunger and thirst for righteousness, to have a hunger for your word, to desire to grow in knowing you and following you and loving you and our neighbor. So to that end, Lord, we pray, trusting these things that we ask into your hands, into the name of our Lord Jesus, who taught us also to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And speaking of our missionaries, we have a video, Brenda.
The Muslim culture is very social. You are defined by your position, by your belonging to the local village community, and by extension to the larger Muslim ummah, what they call it, the Muslim community. It's your identity, it's who you are. This is a very folk Islam here. It's more of a mixture of Islam plus a lot of local traditions. What's most important is not what you believe, but what you do. Do you do the religious things? I've asked a lot of Muslims why they pray, why they fast. The only answer is because God wants them to. This is what God has established for them to do to be good people. But the real reason is because everyone else is doing it and they can't possibly step out of line with the community.
It's unthinkable to them to live without believing with the whole worldview of Islam. Their language is full of God talk, and all their place in society is interwoven with that religion. They have to obey the religion not only to someday hopefully get to paradise, but to be in good standing with mom and dad and the family and the village. There's no separation between the practice of Islam and being a human being. And if they're not part of their community, that leaves nothing in human life.
Because of their historical roots in Judaism, Islam and Christianity do share some common ground.
In many ways, they seem to resemble the other faiths of Abraham.
There is a common ground with Jesus in that they know that he was a prophet. And that gives us respect in the community that we're followers of Jesus.
In the Quran, they speak of Jesus Christ, but not as the only Son of God. He's recognized as a prophet, but not the final prophet. They do say you can refer to the example of Jesus Christ and refer to him.
Al-Injil do je Isa. Isa do ilfu inanmo. Isa do wala hakke. Isa do fewata. Isa o yidi yimbe fu. Isa o
The Quran says Jesus didn't die on the cross. That before he was killed, he was taken up into heaven, and then he'll come back someday and kill the devil, live for 7 years, and then he will die. And so Jesus is there, and it helps. But the Quran hinders in terms of what the Quran has taught them from since they were little kids. And so it's hard to overcome that initial, well, here's what I learned. How do you know that what you're saying is right?
They'll say they know Abraham, Isaac and Jacob and Jesus and the rest. What's interesting is there are no promises. If you say, tell me the story of Abraham, there's no promise made to Abraham. There's just requirements. Submit to God. You know, tell me about Jesus. Well, Jesus is a prophet who taught people and did many miracles. But you don't get a promise. People all want a promise. People want to know what they can expect from God. And no other faith is giving it to him. Certainly Islam is not. You cannot know what to expect from God as a Muslim.
For them, forgiveness does exist. Pardon does exist with God. But it's capricious. It's just, it's done by his own sovereign decision. And it's not related to necessarily love or the sacrifice of a son, for sure.
In the faith that we bring, in the faith of Jesus Christ, all we're saying is, what you want, the heart desires expressed in your faith, are promised to you in Jesus. The reality is that the desire, the cry of a Muslim people is precisely what Jesus gives, and that's all we're telling them. It's that bit of good news.
Please pray that many Muslims would hear the good news of Jesus Christ and have the courage to believe.
Let's do that right now. Lord, we do pray for the people who are following the teaching of Islam, Lord, which acknowledges you in part, but not fully, and which does not have promise that you give us in the good news. We pray, Lord, that the good news of Jesus, the gospel promises, would find their place in the hearts of many Muslims. And we thank you, Lord, that this is happening and that you are turning many Muslims to be followers of you. So we pray, Lord, for the Muslim background believers around the world, that you would embolden them in their witness. You would protect them, Lord, in their persecution. And that you would help them and the missionaries you have sent to the Muslim world, Lord, to bear faithful witness and bear much fruit for your kingdom. We thank you, Lord, for your work among them and those you have chosen and sent and called. And now, Lord, we pray your blessing upon Pastor Eric as he brings the word here. May we, too, hear your gospel promises and believe. We ask this, Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Our gospel for this morning is found in Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 38. And I invite you to please rise for the reading of God's word. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that for you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. This week's gospel text is a continuation from last week's text. It follows what Pastor John preached on last week. And Jesus turned to his disciples and he began to describe blessings and promises that they have received. He says things like, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man." Last week, Pastor John explained that Jesus isn't saying that merely being poor or hungry or sad is the goal here. Jesus is not holding these things up as the ideal to strive for. Instead, he is directing the attention of his disciples to a greater reality, the greater reality of his kingdom, where they are not poor, but instead receive the kingdom of God, where they are not hungry, but instead they are satisfied, where they do not weep, but are filled with laughter. This week, Jesus shifts from description to application. Now that he has turned our attention to the blessings and the promises that we receive in the kingdom of God, Jesus tells us what it looks like for us to live now in light of those promises. He tells us to love our enemies and to do good to those who hate us. He tells us to bless those who curse us, to pray for those who mistreat us. He tells us to turn the other cheek and to give without reservation, even to those who take what is ours. And finally, he tells us to do to others as we would have them do to us. The way that Jesus describes the way that we should live seems completely backwards. Our culture is more likely to tell us to be more responsible, to stand up for our rights, to defend ourselves, to hit back, to not be taken advantage of, to be powerful and respectable, influential, savvy, and smart. We like the idea of mercy, but only if we're getting something in return. There was a police officer who pulled a man over for speeding. And when he approached the vehicle, he realized that the man he had pulled over was his son's Little League coach. And when he realized that, he thought to himself, well, maybe I should just let him off. Maybe I should just let him off. Not out of mercy that expected nothing in return, but the police officer thought this because maybe the coach would allow his son to play first base a little bit more. He thought maybe if he showed mercy, he would get something in return. You see, it's so natural for us to expect and to desire something in return for what we give. We are afraid of being too weak, too lenient, too much of a pushover. So we barter with our love and our mercy. Well, here, Jesus instructs us to love our enemies without holding back. His instruction is a word of law, which tells us what we must and we must not do. In confirmation class, we've been talking quite a bit about the law recently. For the past several weeks, we've been going through the Ten Commandments, and we've talked about how some of the commandments, when you read them at surface value, they seem pretty doable. It seems like it wouldn't be too hard to keep some of these commandments, like do not murder. But in our class, we've seen that God's law is not only directed to our outward actions, to the things that we physically do, but they are directed to our sinful hearts. Jesus teaches about the implications of this when he says, "You have heard that it was said long ago, you shall not murder. And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment." In the Small Catechism, Martin Luther explains that this commandment means that we should fear and love God so that we do our neighbor no bodily harm nor cause any suffering, but help and befriend our neighbor in every bodily need. So suddenly this simple commandment, do not murder, seems a lot harder. In fact, if we're honest, it's impossible for us to keep perfectly. Because the law does not only address our outward actions, but our sinful hearts. And the bad news for all of us is that our hearts are still stained with sin. This is why the Apostle Paul says, "What I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out." Jesus lays out here how we are to love our enemy. It is with a radical love that persists through hatred, curses, and mistreatment. It is a love that pushes past bruised cheeks and stolen property. We are called to love just like him. And that's a pretty tall order. How are you guys doing with that? Do you love your enemies? Do you bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you? Do you turn the other cheek when someone strikes out against you? When someone steals from you, do you demand it back or do you offer even more than what they had stolen? When we look at how Jesus has loved us, we realize just how impossible it is for us to love like this. Right now in the church year, we are in the season of Epiphany, which is all about revelation, the revealing of who Jesus is. And here, God reveals himself in Jesus Christ as being one who loves his enemies. Paul tells us in Romans, "While we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son." In Jesus Christ, God has been revealed as one who blesses those who mistreat him. As he prayed, "Father, forgive them, they do not know what they are doing," about the people who were in the process of executing him. God is revealed as one who did not strike back, but instead allowed himself to be handed over to an unfair trial, to enduring mockers and being spit on and being stripped and flogged and crucified. In Christ, God is revealed as the giver of all spiritual blessings. In Ephesians, Paul says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." In Christ, God is revealed as the one who came not to judge, but to save. In other words, everything that God requires of us here, everything that Jesus teaches about how we are to love our enemy, Jesus has already accomplished. Jesus lavishes on us that kind of love. And now, because of the way that Jesus has demonstrated his love for us, we are free to love our enemies. Because our hope is securely in Christ alone, trusting in his provision for both our daily needs and for salvation, we are free to love without holding back. And it is only in response to Christ's love for us that we are able to love our enemy. We love because he first loved us. For God sent his Son to bear the cross and to suffer death, not to condemn the guilty, but to preserve life. He provides a place for you within his church, where he is near and deals kindly with you, where he continues to lavish his mercy and his grace on you through word and sacrament, that by his love, your heart might be changed, that we might love even our enemies as Christ has loved us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love that you have shown to us, that while we were still your enemies, Christ died for us. Remind us of your love, that we might love even our enemy. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Eric. Let us sing our closing hymn, Have Thine Own Way. You to rise as you're able for our closing chorus. Benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.